All right, Luke 10, 27. This is where the lawyer is trying to trick him. That's what lawyers do. Thou shalt love the Lord. In answering, he said, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?"
What number are you in?
Now let's start at 25. And a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you understand it?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live." Now the one interesting part in Luke's explanation of the great commandment, he added might or strength. So anyway, love is agapeo, it just means give breath to. Lord is kurios, the owner. Heart is cardia, the inner self. Soul is psyche, what it is that makes you you, your you-ness. Strength is ischus, it just means whatever abilities or strengths you may have. Mind is dianoi, and it just means the faculty of thinking. Neighbors, plaison, the person nearest you at any time. And then he alone, Luke alone, coupled the great commandment with the Good Samaritan, because the critical issue is how do you define neighbor? If you love your neighbor as yourself, and that's the test of the great commandment, then who is your neighbor? And that question has been argued. It's one of the most talked about things in commentaries in terms of, but it, to me, it all ends up trying to self-justify why you don't include someone as your neighbor. So let's, if any questions about the great commandment? Remember, it's two things, but it's only Jesus has called it one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy might. Or one of those. And then he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The two are one. Because if you love the Lord thy God, then you will love your neighbor as yourself. And so he used the Samaritan and what he did as the example of neighbor. So let's read that.
Where does it start?
Verse 29. But he, the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and said, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Now this, the Samaritan, initially Samaria was the northern kingdom, which was called Israel. But after Manasseh, the first Manasseh, when he put two golden calves in the temple, then that, and for other reasons, the northern kingdom, or Jude, or Israel, was just dispersed among the nations. So at the time of Christ, there was at the northern part Galilee, at the southern part Judah, and in the middle was Samaria. And they couldn't, we all well know that they couldn't even pass through Samaria on the way to the feasts from Galilee. Now, what had happened, there were a couple of attempts to unite whatever Jews there were in Samaria with Judah, and they always screwed up because the Samaritans were much more lax. We would probably be considered Samaritans by Judea. Then one of the, I think it was Cyrus. No, that wasn't Cyrus. Cyrus is the one that provided the money to build the rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But there was another guy, and I can't remember who it is, that offered to build them a temple in Mount, one of the mountains there. And so they did, and they created their own Judaism, and they claimed they were the true Jews because they claimed they had the only true copy of the Torah and the scrolls. They said the scrolls that that Judah had were defective. And so there became massive enmity between them, and then finally the northern group, Samaritan Jews were just essentially zero. There's probably less than 150 of them there now, but they still have the temple, and they still do their service in the temple. They still have a high priest and a priest order of priests, and they still believe that they are the true Jews, and the ones in Judah or Judea are apostate because they don't have the right Torah scroll.
It's a temple that dates back, that's still the original temple of that king, whoever he was. Built.
Well, it was, it was destroyed and rebuilt, but essentially that's, but the bottom line is, at the time of Christ, the Jews hated the Samaritans as much as Americans hate Al-Qaeda. So, this was the biggest insult that Jesus could give, to use a Samaritan as the good neighbor, or the one that loved his neighbor. And the priests that went to the other side, and the Levites that went to the other side, did so out of fear of becoming unclean by touching. Remember all that stuff. And that's the rationale that went on in their minds.
So they were protected by their religion.
Yeah, and so, but again, Jesus just destroyed all that idea and said, your neighbor is whoever you come upon that's in need. No matter where he is, no matter who he is. And so when you love your neighbor as yourself, it's a biggie. That wasn't your phone, was it?
Yeah, I think
it was. Yeah. Now, Hillel, you remember when I told you what Hillel's version of the great commandment was? He said, What is hateful to thee, do not unto thy fellow man. This is the whole Torah. The rest is mere commentary. Where would the guy that was wounded and half dead on the side of the road be with that? Whatever is hateful to thee, don't do it. Well, I guess you could maybe rationalize it by saying that, well, it would be hateful to me if I were the one that was wounded and nobody did anything about it. But that takes another level of thinking as opposed to the great commandment that Jesus said. It's in the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your Lord with all your mind, your heart, your soul, and strengthen your neighbor as yourself. Anyway.
So what did you just say?
What?
What did you just say?
The Hillel one was in essence a rationalization so you could ignore your neighbor. All right, and I think we talked about it, but I want to do the same thing. The same thing was taught by Paul. And remember, Paul was a student of the grandson of Hillel. Hillel said this, so Gamaliel. So let's look at what he said. Galatians 5, I think we did it, but we'll do it again. Paul is essentially...
Do you take umbrage with that?
Huh?
Do you don't accept that? What Hillel said?
No, because it leaves you an out for loving your neighbor as yourself. Huh?
I don't hear that.
Well, I do. Romans, no, I said Galatians first. Well, Paul said the same thing. Verse 13 of chapter 5, Galatians. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh or to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that, you know, that's just a bunch of words until it just wipes you out. It's like the need for constant repentance. You know, this thing, I wrote a last word about this because I was eating at the new Highland Park cafeteria, eating lunch there, and when I walked out to my car, this guy said, "Hey man, do you have a dollar?" And I just sort of shook him away because in my mind he was probably going to use it for drugs or something. And then I came back here and I felt so guilty about it, I had to go back and try to find him. I couldn't find him. But that's what prompted me to write the thing on the last word. Because it doesn't. To loving your neighbor as yourself, that's a biggie. And we will end up in six ways from Sunday rationalizing our way out of doing it. And all I want you to do is be aware of that. And so that if indeed you don't love your neighbor as yourself, that you repent. Amen? What? Hillel.
He
said, what is hateful to thee, do not unto thy fellow man. This is the whole Torah. The rest is mere commentary.
What is hateful to you, don't do to someone else.
Right.
And you have a problem with that because?
Because it leaves you a level of rationalization. Don't do something instead of doing
something. In other words, I can just live in my little house and not do anything bad to somebody else.
Yeah, so it was greatly expanded.
So here, the mystery is that you, there's no escape from what Jesus said.
I understand your point. I understand that.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, now go to Romans 13. Well, we're going to start in verse 1, Romans 13, because they're interrelated. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power, and the word power here is the word for authority. Remember how we studied all those different words for power? I don't remember it, but this one is the word for authority. Let every soul be subject unto the higher authorities. For there is no authority but of God. And the powers that be, or the authorities that be, are ordained of God. Now, this one is violated so often it's not even funny. That's fine unless there's an authority that you don't agree with. Or that's fine unless there's authority that's an asshole. Or that's fine unless there's the authority is blah, blah, blah. Be subject unto the higher power, unto the authority. Who therefore resisteth the authority resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, how many ways from Sunday can we rationalize ourselves out of this one? The classic one is, well, what about Hitler? As I read this, and this certainly was the opposite of what I thought as a non-believer or as a pagan. The idea, if somebody would have told me back then, let every soul be subject unto the Democrats, I would have. Anyway, but whatever it is, there, you get out of it. You're not subject unto the higher authority, aren't you? The authority, if you disagree with it, how can that be? In the same way as how can you love your neighbors yourself? You can't. Unless you do what? Unless you give God love, agapeo, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your thinking faculties, with everything that makes you you, with every ability that you have. You love God. Now that doesn't leave room for anything else except to be subject unto the higher authorities, unto all authority. Now this will get you, I promise you. You'll find 1,000 things not to, for a reason this isn't true, you'll find it probably 50,000, no, not that many, you'll find many examples to justify your position in the scripture. What do you, I don't know. I mean, I'm not there. I don't know how I would react. But it's by definition, he's not leaving any authority out here. You've got to either rationalize and twist the scripture, or you've got to come up with your own ideas.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
Well, I'm sure I can think of 1,000 of them.
Well, just take the one I said.
Well, you got to be, if you're a believer, you got to let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. It's not, there's without exception.
Okay.
There's no power but that of God. There's no authority but that of God.
So in that context, you would have to say
God is God.
God is God, and this is...
Yeah, it has nothing to say what you would do about it. I don't know what subject to that means. Well, I understand, but I'm saying you can take the extremes of any side, and you have to then be convinced in your own mind that you would be subject to the higher power. And if you're not, there has to be repentance. That's the only way this works. That's what the purpose of the word is, to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
You got to consider some situation that...
Well, I can consider many that I don't believe, that I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I wouldn't, if I, even if one of, from my standpoint, you're my children. What would I do if you were taken away from death camp? I might use every talent I have to kill every German to rescue. I don't know. But I'm saying it's something that we have to wrestle with integrity. And when we come to the end of saying, I don't know what I would do, then we have to say, Father, forgive me. For my mind isn't in conformity with thy word.
Yeah, that word, submit, has so many flavors to it. It's like when the game...
Well, it doesn't submit, it's subject.
Subject.
That's not, but it's...
But when the gangs come in our neighborhood, you don't just say, hey, there's some gangs here.
What did I do?
I guess God said...
You met with them.
What did I do?
You confront them?
I met with
them.
I met with the leaders of the gangs. Mm-hmm. The two with the AV boys and the East Side Locos. Mm-hmm. And they thought I was some mucky muck because I just got been on a grand jury that investigated the gangs. And I just said, I'll leave you alone if you leave us alone. That's what was set before me to do. And it was arranged by God that I had been in a grand jury before, I believe. And so these guys thought I was somebody important. And they left us alone.
Yeah, so there's nothing out of order.
Well, I'm saying that's my best example of how I would had dealt with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'd do. I don't know what I would do with the situation you discussed. In. I mean, my instinct would be to go kill a bunch of Germans. Well, anyway, again, but all I'm saying, if that was my instinct, as I understand the scriptures, that means I would have to repent of that because I wasn't. In subject, being subject to the higher authorities.
Well, I think it does go to death. What else?
Yeah, well, let's go on. For rulers or authorities are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now that's something you have to wrestle with. The only good work from God's standpoint is the bride. Everything else from God's standpoint is evil. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. God is either God or he's not. I don't care what you believe, but you got to face it. If he is God, then there's no action that is not part of his will. There's nothing that can happen in time and space that isn't for the will of God. That's a biggie. And I had to wrestle with it. I had to, because that's what I did all those years. I pushed my mind to the end and said, what would I do? And then finally, the answer always came up, repent. If it was not in accordance with his word. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So that's Paul's, verse 8 to 14. That's Paul's explanation of what it means to love your neighbor. And also Galatians 5. But and this is an area in which you will be tested daily. And by the way, love your neighbor means anyone that you come in contact with. And you that what it means is you can never have anyone be utilitarian, in other words, serving you or serving your purposes. You always have to be the servant in order to fulfill that. You have to show the same mercy that you've been shown. Always, to everyone, no matter what their response is. Every community service worker that comes here is our neighbor. We're their servant, they're not ours. Everybody, every neighbor we have, we're their servant. Amen? Well, I treat him as a guest.
Mm-hmm. But you still receive from that.
That's immaterial.
Well, that's my point, though. It's immaterial to you, maybe, not to me.
Well, the point is we have to follow the law. The law says, the laws of that thing, we have to not give them away too many hours. We have to make sure that they do what they said they're going to do, those kind of things. But that's still serving them, because if their little ticket doesn't match the ticket in here, then they can be in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
Like, and if they counter, like the guy that this doctor, literally, he forged my name and filled in hours that he didn't work here. I could have had his butt. I didn't, because of his father, but that's another story.
I guess my only point is love doesn't mean it's not a one-way street, it's both.
No, it's one way.
No, it's two way.
I see.
Well, I don't, that's so what it says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where's two way?
It really is two
way. Well, tell me where it says that in the scriptures. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what I think. Find it in the scriptures. Love is giving breath, giving importance. That's what that word means, agapeo. No matter what somebody's response to you is, you still love them as your neighbor. No exceptions. That's...
Yeah, we're just not talking the same language right now.
Well, tell me how. Tell me where.
Well, love is not a one-way street.
It's
love... To love you, I have to sit here and listen to you.
No, you don't.
Well, I don't have to, but I love you, so I
All I'm asking you to do, I don't wanna care, I don't care what you care, like what you believe. I want you to find where loving your neighbor as yourself is a two-way street. Show me it in scriptures. Where did the Samaritan gain anything from that man that's a wounded man by the side of the road? There's no, he gained nothing.
You think he gained nothing by pouring himself out to this guy?
That's not,
but
so it's not,
not
that's not
yeah.
a two-way street. It's a one-way street. I don't want to argue,
and
but I just want you to show me one place in the scriptures where it's a two-way street.
And it went with somebody that was hateful to him by his very culture. Like Al-Qaeda, it would be like you and me, this guy, you know, this bomber, you know, convicted bomber, you know, helping him because he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the extreme, but that's why he used the Samaritans as the extreme.
No, I don't. Again, it doesn't matter what we believe. Like,
yeah.
You got to get that in our head. Nobody cares what you or I believe. I care what the scriptures say. And so that's your homework. Find me a place in you can find all kinds of them in the Old Testament. Find me a place in the New Testament where love is a two-way street.
Okay.
Amen?
Good.
Anybody else? You too, Sue. Find me a place where it
yeah.
says it.
You do the research.
All right, take it, big guy.